Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolfe.
How do you feel when another church is really being blessed? You look at it and it's like, man, everything they do, it seems like it goes great. It's slicker. It's more, you know, we have chocolates. They're giving out omelets. They're, you know, and everybody gets a flower. We just, a few people get a flower at the end of third service. Do we feel like, wow, it's cool that God's blessing them? Or do we decide, we need to do what they're doing? Pastor Dave, it's time for you to write some purpose book that'll make a bunch of money and we'll get famous too. Or do we just go, that's our family?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and it's all to hear today.
God sometimes says no, as he did to Job. Not because he did anything wrong, but because God had another plan. A better plan. You can be sure God will do this in your life too. Welcome to The Balanced Word as we continue through the Bible, looking at key Bible stories along the way. We'll meet you in 2 Samuel chapter 6. God said no to David's desire to build the temple. He did so not because there was some sin in David's life, but because God had a better plan. And saying no to David would prove to be even more loving than saying yes. David's response to God's no is very instructive.
Another thing that puzzles me in the story, and I'll talk about it a little more later, this business of, David, you can't do it, but somebody else will. I mean, that's frustrating when that happens. Sorry, you can't do it. Great idea, not for you. But see, the scriptures let us know, and over in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about this quite a bit. Different people have different gifts, and God gives them those gifts. And if we are flexible enough to say, okay, but never mind, then we have to understand too, maybe an idea I have is a great idea, but it's something that God wants someone else to do and to accomplish. And so, you know, David heard that, and he accepted it. Okay, you have somebody else that's going to do it. No problem. Now, this is what I think touches me the most about this story and hits me the hardest. Here's an example of somebody with a great heart and a great idea who wants to do something, and he asks God to bless it, and God says, no, you're not going to do it. How do you handle it? How do I handle it when God tells us no about something? Quite often, we're fired up about something, but man, if we can't do it, we're going to be angry, even if it's something that we're doing for God. Now, think about this. If someone gives you a gift and you don't like it, and you look at it and you go, I'll never wear that, I'll never use that, but what's the dilemma? If you take it back, they may find out. You know, that actually it was on the sale table. Or they may find out that they don't even carry that anymore, so you must have re-gifted it from something that somebody gave you a long time ago. Or if you even get the idea that they don't totally appreciate this, then you're paranoid about it. Because for most of us, we give gifts, but it really honestly isn't for the other person. It's really because it makes us feel good to make them feel good. So it's this synergistic kind of thing. It's how we develop these traditions, like where, okay, this Christmas, nobody spend more than $20 on a gift. Because you don't want that awkward situation where you buy something cheesy and they give you something way better and you feel like, ugh, this is awkward. And so you feel so comfortable. Okay, yeah, $20. Why not just everybody give each other $20? In fact, how about everybody just keep their $20? You know, why even play the game? But man, if it's a $20 deal and somebody comes along and goes, you know what, I couldn't find anything for you for $20, so here I got this, and it's like $200 gift. You're like, what? I hate that. No, I feel like an idiot, you know? It's like the cards that you get back from someone later, you know, because you gave them one and they didn't know you were going to give them one. So now they feel like they have to go get one. Because so much of what we do in the area of gifts is for us as much as it's for them. It's about us getting the reaction that we want from them. And you will know instantly, if you give someone a gift and they don't like it, how are you going to handle that? I remember back when Ann and I got married, that same year several of our friends were getting married, and one of the couples at our wedding gave us, as we're opening the gifts, we got this really beautiful silver serving tray. It was really nice. My mom like gets all mad. I go, "What? This is nice." She goes, "Oh, I know, I bought that for them." And I worked so hard to find that thing. And you don't know how hard it is. Somebody who's blind and I'm feeling this and going, "Ooh, this is really cool." And somehow she could see when she wanted to and couldn't others. But she was like, she just knew that was her silver serving tray. And I had to think really quickly. And I go, "Mom, if you put all that work into it, aren't you glad that we ended up with it?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah. It is." But why do we do that? Because the truth is, if I'm giving you a gift for you, I shouldn't care what you do with it. It was something I tried to give for you. If it didn't work, okay, fine, I tried. You owe me. But see, this is the ultimate of that, where it's like, the culmination of my career. Everything God did for me, I was a shepherd and he anointed me. And wow, I went through all this stuff and we've won so many victories and I have this nice house. And wow, God, I really want to bowl you over with the building I'm going to build for you. And God just goes, "Nah, can't do it." If I was David, that would have really made me mad. Especially this whole blood on your hands thing. I mean, here's what I would have done. If I offered that to God and God said, "No, can't, you know, your son's going to do it." I would go, "Are you kidding me? Who better than me, the man after your heart? I know what kind of a building you would like. And I can do this and I have the skills. And yeah, you say, oh, I'm a man of war and I have blood on my hands. Hey, God, who told me to kill all these people? I'm killing people for you. You're telling me to do it. You're even telling me it's good that I'm killing these people. And now this disqualifies me. And my little son Solomon's going to be able to do it. Have you noticed him on the playground? He's chasing the little girls around all the time. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up with 1,000 women. And it's okay for him to build you a house. But for me, and you know, Solomon's going to be doing it with stuff I bought. Come on. I should be able to build you a house." But David, it's so amazing to me. He took no for an answer. And not only that, he turned it into a worship service. He just began to pray to God. And I mean, look at what he does after he lays out and says he gets all this. Then he sat before the Lord. "Oh God, who am I?" And he goes on in verse 22, "Therefore you're great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." He worships God when God tells him no. Now, when you look at it too, though, there's something here that we have to understand. And that is, throughout the scriptures, you'll find it. God doesn't need us. God's not counting on us to do the things that he wants to do. And so therefore, we cannot go, "Hey God, I got something for you. What do you think?" And so often, and partly it's because of overzealous preachers laying a trip on people, we give people the idea that God is in desperate need for what we have to offer. But when you read the scriptures, you find out God doesn't need anything from us. God's not trying to get us to be good. He's not trying to get us to make him look good. He's not laying a trip on us at all. He's like, "You know what? I own everything and it's all fine. So forget what you're going to do for me. I want to tell you what I want to do for you, because when you read the Bible, you realize God's focus is always on what he wants to do for us, not on what he wants us to do for him. You take the Bible and you twist it and turn it into some sort of a religious rule book. If you get the idea that God's like, ooh, I was hoping you'd build me a house. Well, I was wishing you would fix the church up a little more. I was wishing that you'd buy some advertising to plug me. Why haven't you made enough movies about me? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? And it's like, no, that's not God. He can make anything he wants. But what God's heart, and if you don't know God, you've never really come into a relationship with him, this may surprise you. God's desire is not to make you a better person so that he looks good. He's not looking for somebody else to give him money, somebody else to serve him, somebody else to be good. God is desiring to let you know how much he loves you, and he is wanting to give to you. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of the gospel and the cross. It's not about what you can do for God. You know, President Kennedy made the statement famous, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And too many preachers have turned that around and said, ask not what God can do for you, ask what you can do for God. No, God is saying, I don't need you to do anything for me. Now, when you become overwhelmed with what he's doing for you, of course, you want to do things. And David, after this worship service, he began collecting stuff so that when his son built the temple, it would be there and available. And he started drawing up plans even. But the emphasis from God was, why don't you worry about what I'm giving to you? That's what changes your life. You doing stuff for me, it's not necessary. I'm not impressed. It doesn't matter. It's cute. I like your heart. But I want you to listen, because there are things that I want to do for you. And that's the emphasis of our relationship from God, is what can God do for me, not what I can do for him. And so David seems to understand that. God is communicating that very clearly. Now, the other thing that jumps out here, and I think for those of us who live in an individualistic culture, this is a little bit hard for us to understand generally. But for David to be told, you're not going to build the temple, in fact, you're not going to see it, but you'll have a son who gets to build a temple. But not only that, you will have a distant descendant who will sit on a throne, your throne, forever. In a collectivist culture, you go, you know what? If my family is taken care of, that is more of a blessing than for me to be taken care of. Now, we love our kids. We love our grandkids, our great-grandkids, for sure. And for many of us, we would go, yeah, I would rather have my kid blessed than for me to be blessed. But how about somebody 20 generations down? How do you feel about that? And for many parents, it's kind of hard. They want to hang on to their own stuff. And they actually manipulate their kids using their will or their living trust to do it. Oh, I'm going to change my will because you're doing this. Because we don't have this sense of we are all part of a family. How we look at family, how we look at selflessness, how much do we want blessing to flow through us to our family and to those around us. But it's way more than that, because the human family is only a picture of God's family. And we should be more collectivist about the family of God. We should feel like, you know what? If God blesses somebody in my family, then he's blessing me, because we are all connected. And in our culture in particular, we lose an awful lot of that. And so we tend to get very party-ish in terms of, oh, it's me, I'm going to hold it. We get competitive. How do you feel when another church is really being blessed? you look at it and it's like, man, everything they do, it seems like it goes great. It's slicker. It's more, you know, we have chocolates. They're giving out omelets. They're, you know, and everybody gets a flower. We just, a few people get a flower at the end of third service. Do we feel like, wow, it's cool that God's blessing them? Or do we decide we need to do what they're doing? Pastor Dave, it's time for you to write some purpose book that'll make a bunch of money and we'll get famous too. Or do we just go, that's our family. That's so cool. How do we feel? You know, it's hard. A lot of times you'll hear pastors talking about people who are sheep stealers because they attract people from your church and go to another church. I understand that that is personally painful sometimes when that happens. But wait, they're going to just another part of the family. We should be so glad if somebody goes to a different church and is being blessed in a way that they're not being blessed at our church. Because is this about me or is this about my family being blessed? And so we should celebrate that. It should be something that we go, I'm so glad that God is working in other places. Instead of looking at it like, well, it's about me, it's my kingdom, this is my house, and it's my... No, you know, the family of God is not just people at Pacific Hills. It's people who name the name of Jesus all over the world, all sorts of different churches. If they've put their faith in him, they're our family, and when they're blessed, we're blessed. Here's what happens, we become so selfish that I look at my life this week, and I go, I hope I don't have a bad week. I go, you know, this last week, it was kind of tough. Stuff happened. And you know, I was just feeling kind of down and discouraged. Bad week. I'm hoping this week's better and I feel better. Well, when we're really a body, when we're really a family, it should be like, you know what? Maybe I personally didn't get what I wanted this week, but I know people. They're a part of my family, and they were blessed. The odds of me having a good week are so much greater if it's not just about what kind of week I have, and instead, it's about the kind of week that my family has. So if some of you this week are going to have a great week, that's great for all of us. It's one reason why it's important to share it with people. You're kind of afraid because if you had a great week and you share that and people look like, why you, not me? But when we understand the family of God, when we understand that we are all one people, then we can find a lot more occasions to rejoice. Because as long as it's good for somebody, and for David, it was like, if you're taking care of my family and way down the line, I take that personally. I appreciate that myself. And again, this is what I so admire about David. This is why I think David was a man after God's heart. Because it's God's heart to be related, to be connected. There's nothing in God that isn't about relationship. There's nothing in what he does for us that isn't about drawing people into this incredible fellowship that God has within God himself, within the Trinity, and how it is with his family. As soon as we start thinking, no, if I can't have it, I hate that somebody else has it. In fact, I'm going to get jealous of anybody who has more than I do. No, I'm going to go, that's my family, so it's mine. I'm connected. Maybe they'll let me borrow it sometime. Or, you know, just the idea of, you know what? It's not just about me. It's ultimately about what God is doing for his people. So can we find a way to rejoice on behalf of others? That's the question. It's going to determine whether or not we learn what it is to be a member of his family. And David got it. He was like, no, I'll take no for an answer. Because if the answer is, I can't do it, but somebody else can, that's great. I talk to people all the time who have such a desire to do something for God. And I've seen it happen. I mean, sometimes you can really want to do something for God, and it's a good desire, But it just, doors are shut. It just isn't working out the way you think it is. And I've seen people end up getting angry. Why does God let other people do it and not me? I'm better than they are. I could do more than him. And what? And you end up becoming really bitter and not understanding it. God has some people to fight wars. He has some people to build houses. Different people have different jobs. Are you okay with it? Are you someone who will give second thoughts to your own dreams if it means allowing God to do whatever he wants to do through whomever he wants? How do you feel when someone steals your idea? How do you feel when someone does what you've always been wanting to do? You end up getting bitter at the people who don't give you the opportunity. You end up feeling like, you know, if somebody would just give me a chance, I could have done great things for God. Already, that exposes a chink in your armor, an idea that it really wasn't just for God. Because if you really wanted to do it for God, you'd be happy that somebody else got to do it instead of you. Because it got done. You didn't have all the headaches. And so maybe your role is collecting building materials. Maybe your role is doing other things or encouraging others. But this is what shows where our heart is. And David, again, stands out as this amazing example who says, no problem. I'm going to do all that I can do to help other people do what I wanted to do. And I'm going to worship God. And I'm going to celebrate that he loves me and wants to bless my family forever. What a great heart. What a great example.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com. Or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here to wrap things up, Pastor Dave once again having us think about where we're at with the Lord.
If you're here today and you've never actually entered into a relationship with God, that seems almost like a foreign subject to you. You're not into the whole church thing and you're not really connected. And the truth is, you don't think there's anyone out there who really has your back. You used to think so. You used to have big dreams, but now you're just into surviving, seeing how if you can last for another few years. I have great news for you. The God who created you wants nothing more than to bless you. He doesn't care about using you. That's not a big thing. He may use you, he may not, he may use somebody else. But he loves you, and he wants you to receive his blessings, and he wants you to become a part of his family so that every time something good happens for the name of Jesus, it's happening to you because you're a part of this family. If you've never entered into that relationship with him, great news, man. God sent his son Jesus to die for you so that your sins would be forgiven. Your life could start over. You can be a part of everything that God is and does in the world. You can join up with the most amazing family that there is. And all you have to do is ask him. All you have to do is within your heart, he already knows what's going on in your heart. He's working in your heart by his Spirit. And so just to silently within your heart, just go, okay, I need that. I want that. Then you will be giving him an opportunity to make you a part of his family. He will at that moment forgive your sins, start you fresh. And guess what? He doesn't really worry about what you're going to do for him. God is passionately considering what he wants to do for you. And you can just receive it.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we give attention to the story of David and Bathsheba. This program is presented by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.